Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Monday, September 12th. Today, we're talking with Colorado Sun outdoor reporter and co-founder Jason Blevins about a couple different lawsuits. One is between some private developers and the National Forest Service. Another is between Vail Resorts and the City of Vail. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Pinnacle Assurance. Pinnacle Assurance provides workers' comp insurance and was named one of the most community-minded companies in Colorado for the third year in a row. Last year, Pinnacle donated $1.5 million in grants, donations, and scholarships to Colorado communities. Learn how Pinnacle puts care to work at pinnacle.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day, in 1977, a group known as Partners in Action for Agriculture convened in the Baca County seat of Springfield. About 500 farmers vented their frustrations about federal farm legislation in the high school gym. Eugene Schroeder told the assembled crowd, quote, "We must have a fair price for our products plus enough to exist on. We can't feed the nation on cheap food with the American farmer who is producing that food going broke." Schroeder and others called for an agricultural strike and protests to raise awareness of their precarious situation. 10 days later, farmers visited Pueblo to lobby the Federal Secretary of Agriculture, members of Congress, and state legislators. The notion of an agricultural strike made headlines far beyond southeastern Colorado. Anger at low crop prices that made it difficult for farmers to survive struck a chord, and the strike proposal spread nationwide. By the year's end, 10,000 farmers brought their tractors to rallies to the state capitol, and similar tractorcades took place at government buildings nationwide. Before we continue, a message from our sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you. We're visiting today with Jason Blevins, Colorado Sun outdoor reporter and co-founder. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Carol.
Today, I want to jump right into all kinds of legal accusations and cases flying around Vail. We have some developers suing the feds in the Vail Valley, and then we've got the Vail Resorts suing the town of Vail. So start where you want. Let's hear about it.
Sure. This week, we had the developers behind this proposal for Berlimont Estates. It's a 600-acre inholding up above Edwards, above the Vail Valley there. They have spent 14 years trying to get access to this island of private land they owned on the top of the mountain up there. Beautiful, beautiful acreage. And they need a road through Forest Service land to get there. They have gone through the county and they've gone through, you know, more than 10 years of federal review, environmental review. They're still waiting on this final decision on how they can access this parcel. This week, they sued the Forest Service, asking a judge to simply force the Forest Service to issue its decision. It's close. I've talked to the supervisor of the White River National Forest out there, and he's always said for the past year, he said he's very close. But at the same time, we've had politicians wading into this. Representative Neguse, Senators Hickenlooper and Bennett, Governor Polis have all sent letters to the Forest Service asking them to delay the decision even more while this gets weighed. And it really boils down to how this 1980 legislation that's called ANILCA, the Alaska Lands Interest National Conservation Act, and they're trying to figure out how that applies in Colorado. That act was kind of made for, say, your Grizzly Adams dude that has a cabin in the woods and he needs a way to get to it and he wants to build a road so that he can take his horse wagon or whatever up to, you know, this cabin in the woods. And the forest, you know, they created legislation that says, well, you should be able to do that. Over the years, that's kind of evolved in a little bit, and the legislation requires that federal land managers provide adequate access, quote unquote, for reasonable use, quote unquote. So what does that mean? And in Colorado, there's plenty of people around this project, a very unpopular project, that are saying, hey, come on now, is adequate access a 4-mile paved road with 13 switchbacks and through this, you know, federal land, untrammeled federal land is reasonable use, you know, a gated community of 19, you know, multi-million dollar mansions is, you know, is this the right way to apply this law in Colorado? It is the law. And the, you know, Forest Service manager and supervisor in White River says like, hey, you know, I maybe don't like this, but I kind of have to, you know, provide some form of access. So he has picked a route for them to build a road. They don't like that route, but they're still just waiting on any final decision. And we will see a lot more lawsuits, I think, on this one, because it's just such a super contentious project. And it's one of these few kind of remnants of an old plan that was wildly popular in the 80s and 90s when every developer thought, you know what everybody loves in the mountains is giant communities of gated communities far away from the road that are all mansions. And there were a number of these proposals and not many of them actually worked. And the ones that even did work have proven to be not that popular. So it's kind of this, you know, odd situation. I'm not sure if there's even an appetite for this kind of project anymore. These kind of homes, you know, super ostentatious mansions in these beautiful wilderness areas. But we'll see. We're going to be hearing about this, I would guess, for at least another 14 years.
Yeah, 14 years already is a ridiculous amount of time for something like this to linger. And you referenced individuals or groups who were kind of behind the political pressure. Can you identify who some of those are?
You know, the Wilderness Workshop is sort of spearheading it, but there's all these environmental groups largely that are, you know, really worried about the road that will traverse, you know, through elk and deer populations. Elk and deer populations are in decline in the Vail Valley, or so we're told. So there seems to be a lot of concern over how this road might potentially, you know, impact wildlife habitat. Obviously, the Vail Valley is very, very well built, and it's almost an urban valley in many senses, especially close to that interstate. So this road is going to climb up, you know, 1,000 feet above the valley floor into one of the last kind of pristine spots left in above the valley there, and build these kind of homes that, you know, will always have, you know, a lot of construction traffic, a lot of maintenance traffic. And while it's only 19 homes, that's not, it'll be more than 19 trips a day. There'll be your hot tub guy and your lawn guy and your HVAC guy.
19 homes on 680 acres. So we're looking about 35 to 40 acres per property.
Yeah, which is allowed under Colorado law. That's part of the thing. If you have one house per 35 acres is, you know, a use by right.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the investors, really, who have been going through this for 14 years.
They're from the Czech Republic. They have a company that's based in the Czech Republic, and they also have huge plays in Florida. They're kind of young, hip, fit folks. You know, I've sort of seen him out and about in town and seen him at events. I've never actually met him, but they're named Peter Lucas and Jana Sobotova, and they own this company called Simex, very high-end hospitality company. And they own, you know, like sky-rise penthouse things in Miami. And they built this house in Vail, Slopeside Vail and Forest Road on spec that they're trying to sell for $45 million. Heck of a house. High-end players for sure. And they bought this land, you know, in the early 2000s and have been kind of pushing this plan now ever since.
Right. Yeah. They might be young and hip, but they're 14 years in to this project, and another 14 years. That doesn't do any of us any good.
But you can understand their frustration. This has been a long process, but and something to where technically, they are following the rules and they have done everything they're supposed to do. And they have gone through all the reviews. They've met all the, you know, requirements for environmental review. And they've been waiting. This final record of decision is over a year late. And you can understand their, you know, angst and their concern over what appears to be just, you know, a disregard of the process that they were told to follow. And they have done everything they have been asked to do. So you can understand their frustration, whether you like the project or not. You can definitely see why they would be frustrated after so many years of pushing this plan.
Right. And they're sticking with it. So
exactly.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what, I know you'll fill us in when there's some resolution here. The other thing we've got going on is Vail Resorts battling with the town of Vail now over a project that, you know, I guess centers around protecting some bighorn sheep habitat.
Yes, and this one is another one we will be hearing about for a very long time, I'm afraid, which is kind of sad. It's a pretty ugly legal battle. The town of Vail has a parcel in East Vail, about 23 acres, and they have carved off a little piece of it where they want to build housing for 165 workers. They own the land. They've gone through all the approvals and permits, and we're pretty much ready to break ground when a new council was elected in the town of Vail, and that council is not a fan of developing on this site. This site is popular with a bighorn sheep herd, and the council is digging in to stop development on that parcel. They have passed a resolution that said they will pursue condemnation of the land and forcing them to sort of buy it from Vail Resorts. And Vail Resorts has dug in just as much, saying we are going to push for development. And last week, Vail Resorts sued the town over the council's emergency ordinance passed earlier in August that prevents any permits or development or work on that parcel. Pretty ugly fight, and really kind of in a time when we really need housing in every mountain valley in the high country, if not every corner of Colorado needs housing. This is, you know, this is an interesting sort of battle that comes down to, you know, protecting this bighorn sheep herd, or, you know, allowing the company says it can build on the 5 acres of this small parcel and build density there and still protect that bighorn herd. So I don't think the town is willing to take that chance. And so it's turned into a pretty ugly legal battle that if it kind of goes to its full fruition here. You know, in my newsletter, I kind of drew a comparison to this could turn into the equivalent of the 10-year battle over the valley floor in Telluride, which was 570 acres that the developer wanted to, you know, build a village and slopeside ski in, ski out village there in Telluride. People in the town were not fond of that plan. They offered him $25 million. He said, ha, it's worth $50 million. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, took 10 years, and the town did pay. This is a town of, 2,000 people, did pay $50 million to prevent development on that land. Twice as what it expected. Went all the way to the Colorado Supreme Court, and one of the more interesting eminent domain cases in condemnation cases in the history of the state. And if this thing unfolds in Vail the same way, we're going to have Valley Floor Part 2.
Well, and that's fascinating. And you know, this one in Vail is tricky because, like you said, particularly in the mountain communities, we need affordable housing for the folks who work there. Yeah, so this is a tricky one and sounds like potentially a long, protracted fight. And for listeners who aren't aware, Jason, every week, every Thursday, drops the Outsider newsletter, which curates, you know, the most in-depth outdoor news in the state of Colorado. You can go to our website, coloradosun.com, and search for it, subscribe, and get this info in your inbox every Thursday before anybody else gets it. So, Jason, thank you. And thanks to the colleagues who helped produce this podcast, including our production partners, Pirate Audio. And I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Colorado's state job board has more than 120,000 openings listed, even as new weekly jobless claims remain slightly higher than they were in 2019. The state has yet to issue its latest economic report, but other organizations are sharing their findings. A new hiring report from small business network Alignable found that 66% of 307 small businesses surveyed in Colorado believe we are in a recession, and 28% instead would call it a depression. A survey of more than 5,000 small businesses nationwide was more upbeat, with 57% believing we're in a recession. A tiny piece of a fast-growing plant floating in the Boulder Reservoir has heightened concerns among wildlife officials about the invasive species that's known to disrupt ecosystems and affect drinking water quality. If Eurasian water milfoil starts to grow roots in the reservoir, the plant's feather-like strands can grow up to 2 inches a day, reaching 20 feet. As it creeps toward the surface of water, it forms dense canopy-like structures, casting consequences for the aquatic ecosystem, boaters, anglers, and swimmers. It has been found in 50 other Colorado lakes, but this was the first detection in nearly 2 years. A major influx of money is pouring into the groups backing Colorado ballot initiatives that would let grocery stores sell wine and allow third-party delivery services to transport alcohol. There is also an initiative that would allow liquor retailers to open as many locations in Colorado as they'd like. The Wine in Grocery Stores Committee had $8.35 million in the bank to begin September, giving it one of the largest campaign war chests of any group or candidate in Colorado, heading into the home stretch before the November 8th election. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.